I'm Mindy Todd. Welcome to The Point. Later in the hour, we discuss the risks associated with skin cancer and how to protect ourselves from the sun's UV rays. But first, June is LGBTQ Pride Month, and there are events happening across the country. Locally, Cape Cod Pride Day is Saturday, June 24th in Falmouth. Joining us to talk about the picnic and the ongoing efforts to support members of the LGBTQ community in our region are Rabbi Elias Lieberman of the Falmouth Jewish Congregation. Good to see you.
Welcome Good morning, back. Mindy.
Also with us is Paul Glass, co-chair of the LGBT Elders of Color. And he's also a member of the Massachusetts Commission on LGBT Aging. Welcome. Good to see you, Paul.
Thank you. Good morning.
Rabbi Lieberman, this is the second annual Cape Cod Pride Day picnic, which is co-sponsored by No Place for Hate and PFLAG, which is Parents, Family, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays of Cape Cod. What was the impetus behind starting the event last year, and how did last year's first event go?
It actually has an interesting history, Mindy. Someone who moved to our community a couple of years ago from the western part of the state was actually quite shocked to find that there was no Pride celebration on this part of the Cape, because he was used to a very active one out in the Northampton area. And he said, let's do this. And so between the two organizations, PFLAG and No Place for Hate, we gathered a small committee of people to work on it. And we held our first event last year. It was a wonderful success, but modestly attended. We may had maybe 200 to 300 people, which was about 200 to 300 more than we thought we might get.
Okay, that seems like a pretty good turnout for the first time.
It was great, and everyone was enthused. And of course, that led to planning for an even bigger event this year. Yeah.
Now, you've been working to revitalize the efforts of No Place for Hate. So tell us more about the mission of the organization and some of the efforts.
No Place for Hate Falmouth is an organization whose purpose is to combat bias and hate. And we do that through advocacy and education.
Okay. Paul, the Cape might be perceived as more a tolerant region than other communities because we have, you know, Provincetown, and Massachusetts is considered a fairly progressive state. But what are the realities of living as a LGBTQ person on the Cape, particularly in communities that are outside of Provincetown? What are some of the changes you'd like to see?
Well, surprisingly, there are not as many folks who are out. Out in the sense that they're comfortable letting other people know that they're gay. Mm-hmm. They live here, they work here, they retire here, but not necessarily out and enjoying their lives the way that I think that they could. Mm-hmm. When they feel as though they want to get out, they go to Provincetown. Mm-hmm. But other parts of the Cape are not as they're not as open about their sexuality in other parts of the Cape. Mm-hmm. And I think that needs to change.
And why do you think that is? Do you think that it's less tolerant outside of Provincetown? Why do you think
that is? I think sometimes it's just a perception.
Perception.
I have found that since I moved to Falmouth, and that was back in 2003, I've been openly gay and been very welcomed in the community. And I think that, you know, folks who are comfortable within their own skin, I think other folks will embrace them. I think that there's an innate fear that they may be ostracized or that they may run into some encounters that would be uncomfortable. So they and many folks just rather not. Mm-hmm. I think that happens to individuals who are not necessarily connected with a partner or a spouse. Mm-hmm.
It must be a challenge to reach the many different populations and constituencies within the community. We have part-time residents, we have visitors, seniors, students, parents. What are the different ways you try to reach as many people as possible with this message of tolerance?
Well, certainly No Place for Hate has activities including films, book discussions, lectures, etc., which are open to the community and publicize as widely as we can. PFLAG has wonderful support groups on different parts of the Cape. They, too, do a great job of outreach, which touches both visitors and current total residents.
And there's also a support group, I would say, Mindy, here in the Falmouth area. It's the Falmouth Gay Men Social Group. And that's been ongoing for, about 10, 15 years now. Mm-hmm. And it's a group of guys who have gotten together and it started to form this a group, if you will, to get LGBT men of out of isolation, mm-hmm. to get them connected, whether they have here living permanently or they're here visiting. Mm-hmm. And they have been quite successful at it. They used to meet at the Canty Building in Falmouth on Main Street, but in the last year and a half, they have adopted the idea that they would meet it every week every Thursday evening at a restaurant. They advertise it on the website, and they list the different restaurants that they attend on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. It's been well attended in many cases. So, you know, the average attendance is about 15 to 20 guys who kind of mm-hmm. come together for just for dinner, conversation, and to be social. And mm-hmm. a lot of folks are connecting with that. And, you know, word of mouth is powerful.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Are you finding that children are more accepting of differences, especially when it comes to gender identity and sexual orientation, than generations of the past? I'm thinking when you're saying that people are a little bit nervous about coming out, and I'm wondering if that's more of an older generation rather than the younger generation. Is that true?
I think there is some truth to that. Yeah. I think, you know, the older generation haven't had experience bias in, for so long throughout their younger and adult lives that mm-hmm. It's something that's left a mark on them. And I think that that's it holds true in their lives when they move to the Falmouth or to the Cape area. Mm-hmm. But certainly the younger generation has a whole different mindset, you know. I have a son who's now 35, and he's totally different mindset. Of course, you know, I may be a little bit biased, and I think he too, but in the sense that he grew up with a gay parent. But yeah. You know, in the sense that he's very comfortable about who he is and his sexuality, I would say, much to my disappointment, I thought he was going to be a gay son, but he wasn't. I tell people all the time, and I only jokingly, but I love him equally and just as much as he loves me being a gay dad.
I think that's absolutely true, Mindy. I have a 23-year-old daughter who is openly, proudly bisexual. And just getting to know her peer group, you know, within her immediate circle of friends, I think she has two or three transgender friends, completely different take and experience, and I think that only bodes well for the future.
Mm-hmm. Paul, you have a focus on elders and people of color in the LGBT community. What are some of the specific issues that these individuals face?
Well, you know, surprisingly, LGBT adults of color have not had the similar experiences of their white counterparts. And I would say within the community itself, there has been some bias and prejudice as well. So, you know, as a young adult, I grew up in the Boston area and experienced it, you know, mm-hmm. and having come out in that the LGBT community and wanted to go to clubs being young and wanted to get out and be seen and be about myself. Oftentimes I was unnecessarily carded. Mm-hmm. You know, we would go to a club and they would let folks in, and you know, we're in line, and you get to the greeter, so to speak, and now you know, okay, well now I need three picture IDs, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. It's like, well, what's going on? You didn't ask these guys. You just mm-hmm. said, well, listen, we need three people's ID from you. Mm-hmm. So it's those kinds of experiences that kind of left a mark, and you know, that's one of the reasons that we thought to be as older adults now, we face similar discriminations, if you will, both outside and within the LGBT community. But we've made a lot of progress, but we have a little ways to go.
How are we doing in HIV and AIDS prevention education in the state? And are treatment drugs readily available to anybody who needs them?
They absolutely are available to anyone who can access them, who wants to access them. I think, you know, prevention, the drugs that is most prevalent for prevention now is PrEP, pre-explosive prophylactic. And it's a preventative drug that's, Truvada, it's a combination of HIV blockers. And it allows folks to have a sexual experiences without the fear of having to contract HIV. Mm-hmm. And that's an important thing, but it's not as well known, and it is become a lot more accessible, particularly here on the Cape. But it's, you know, I don't think that folks are as educated about it as they need to be.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just also thinking, you know, the drugs can be very costly, and so, you know, sometimes people don't have the money, but we have ways of taking care of that now. I mean,
well, one of the good things is that we've had the benefit of having, you know, the kind of care in Massachusetts that, you know, through, you know, the Medicare system and through Obamacare, as well as through, you know, the systems that were set up in for MassHealth.
Right.
The HIV drugs that have been extremely expensive, through insurances, has been most of the folks have the kind of coverage that they need and they deserve.
Mm. Robert Lieberman, some people feel the LGBTQ lifestyle is in conflict with their religious beliefs. What is the line between tolerance and religious teachings, and how do you find that common ground?
It can be a challenge, Mindy. There are certainly people who are, I would say, locked into certain perspectives based in faith tradition teachings. Happily, there are other ways of approaching those subjects. Mm-hmm. And there are many liberal faith traditions which are absolutely accepting and openly embracing the fact that we're all made in God's image, and we express those differences in different ways.
A lot of times it's interpretation, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Tell us more about the picnic itself. What do you have planned, and what do you hope to come out of the gathering?
First thing I want everyone to know is that it's taking place rain or shine. If we're not blessed with weather like we have today, we have the option of moving inside, and we certainly will. It runs from 12 until 3 on Saturday on the grounds of Morse Pond School, 323 Jones Road in Falmouth. We have a stellar entertainer by the name of Zoe Lewis, well known in Provincetown and across the nation and probably around the world. She is spectacular. She'll be performing from 1 to 2. We're hoping that some elected officials are going to show up and have some words to say to our community. We have commissioned a poem for the event, which will be delivered that day. We have a wonderful DJ. We have food vendors. We have about 20 or more vendor tables, both people who are prepared to offer you things for sale, as well as any number of organizations who want their message to be brought to the community.
This is for all ages?
All ages, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right, so are there opportunities for people to become involved in the work of No Place for Hate or PFLAG of Cape Cod? Tell us about that. People might not know about it and go, wait a minute, I didn't know that existed.
Certainly. Yeah. No Place for Hate is best accessed through our Facebook page, No Place for Hate Falmouth. You can also email noplaceforhate@gmail.com. PFLAG of Cape Cod has a website as well. I don't remember the URL, but
we'll
easily found.
Yeah.
Right.
I just want to ask you, too, with the tone of language that we have been hearing of late, you know, with the presidential campaign, and is that impacting your work at all now? I mean, I think maybe nationally this, but I'm wondering locally we were talking before when the language is important. You know, words can be very hurtful.
Well, Mindy, I'll give you an example. Last week, we received a phone message on our synagogue's voicemail. The message was short. It was, Heil Hitler, Sieg Heil, Sieg Heil.
Oh, boy.
That was it. Now, I have to say that it was not the kind of message which struck fear into any of us. It came from out of state, probably a robocall. Mm-hmm. However, I'm of the opinion that a year ago, that call would not have come through. Mm-hmm. I think that people are feeling empowered to express their darker side and their darker feelings in ways that wasn't happening as much a year ago.
Well, let's hope a whole bunch of people come out who don't have those dark thoughts. Cape Cod Pride Day is Saturday, June 24th at noon at the Morse Pond School in Falmouth. We'll have more information about the picnic, PFLAG, and No Place for Hate at our website, capeandislands.org. Thank you, Paul and Ellis, for being here. We appreciate your time this morning. Coming up after break, we discuss skin cancer and ways to protect ourselves from the sun's damaging rays.